If it's Friday and your kids are already sick of the new school year, it's Bluegrass Bios on WLXU LPFM Lexington Community Radio. Joining me in studio, as always, is the pint-sized Lexington Sours.
Hello.
The Pilsner-sized Benjaneer Wolf.
That's fair.
And I am your host and frothing mug, Kyle Bigelow. If you'd like to comment on my taste in jokes, they're bad. Ben's taste in music, which I've been enjoying lately.
Good.
Agreed.
Or Lex's taste in men. Jury's still out.
Yeah, yet to be.
Yeah. Well,
pending. Okay. Pending.
All right. I see how it is.
TBA.
That's how it is. You can tweet us at Bluegrass Bios or follow us on Facebook. I don't want to exaggerate because I don't want to exaggerate our guest list because I subscribe to the school of under promise, over deliver. But we have a great guest list today. First of all, we'll be having on Celeste Lewis. She works for the Downtown Arts Center and the Moon Dance Amphitheater. And I hear what you're saying, Kyle. What's so exciting about having another government employee on your radio station? and to that, I would say, first of all, she's not just some government employee. And second of all, John, just quit asking me questions. Our listener's name is John.
Is that the guy who tweeted at us last week?
I digress. Anyway, I'm getting off page. Our second guest at 1:15 is someone we've had booked for about 6 weeks now. He's an executive producer and senior video creator at Crack.com in Los Angeles. One of my favorite comedic minds and a truly thoughtful, articulate guy, the one and only Michael Swaim. But first, how is everyone?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
I'm good. I've moved about 90% of my stuff in. I went and kind
90%?
Of enjoyed Lex.
You have a bed now?
I have a bed.
Excellent. Okay, because you're still commuting to Louisville, right?
Yeah, I'm still commuting from home to come in here and then in... I guess the 21st, right before school starts.
That's your date for 100%.
That's my date for 100%.
Okay. Yep. So now while you've been in, what kind of restaurant are you working in, Lex?
Oh, I work in a Mexican restaurant. Just your average Mexican.
Yeah, run of the mill.
They got Tex-Mex fajitas. American. Yep,
now, I guess I asked because I'm wondering if they have televisions in there. Ben came in. Yes, he wanted to discuss some Olympics. Is that Ben?
I've just been watching it all week, essentially.
Okay, so what's going on? I know a lot of general stuff. I know Michael Phelps has been frowning at people.
Mostly smiling.
I know that the
frowning first.
That face though,
first
with Niklos was scary.
Well, he looks like a Star Wars Sith or something in that picture.
Well, our rugby team looks like a collective Sith.
Our rugby team.
Yeah,
see, here's the thing, man. You're getting deep in on all of this stuff. Like,
I watched archery the other day. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I wish they would show sort of an establishing shot of the archery field so you can see exactly how far. Because they're 75 yards.
Right. It's
long way, but you only see like a close up of. And everybody, apparently the style is hold the bow like right up to your lip and nose and squish it. Like that's a technique. And then they have the close-up of the target.
Right.
I want to see it. I want to see the arrow fly through the air. So the note to NBC.
You don't get a full concept of how impressive what they're doing is.
And they were doing it in the rain and the wind the other night. I wanted to say, you can't see the rain really on HD unless you're really close up to stuff.
Yeah. Those kind of... I don't want to say less popular, I guess, or less mainstream sports.
Novelty is the word I use.
Thank you. Novelty sounds a lot better.
Don't say that to the rugby team.
I'm down with, first of all, the rugby does not belong in the Olympics.
You don't think
yes,
so?
Yes, it does.
Absolutely not.
I've had fun watching
rugby
it.
Already has their own World Cup. They have international event.
So does soccer.
And soccer doesn't belong.
Oh, really?
And soccer doesn't belong, and tennis doesn't belong, and golf certainly doesn't belong. I don't know if they have baseball anymore, but that absolutely doesn't belong.
They've tried.
This is supposed to be the one time every 4 years these people who dedicate themselves to these esoteric sports can have the spotlight. Like, why are we sending our PGA Tour millionaires? The PGA Tour is already international.
Sure.
And why are we sending these professionals out there?
Gymnastics has a Worlds.
Okay, but gymnastics is...
But they don't really have a league. This is not fair. It's not fair to the gymnastics people and the swimming people that we also have soccer, which gets the bulk of viewership if soccer is going up against swimming.
Track also has world invitationals probably every 2 or 4 years as well. Right. But the primary venue for these sports is the Olympics. For these basketball teams, and the basketball is kind of grandfathered in, I think. Yeah. If this is sort of like a annoyance for you as an athlete, you know, then I don't really need to see you.
The basketball team, I think it's just the basketball team, but I may be incorrect on this. They're staying in a boat.
Yeah, a yacht.
A
300-room yacht.
Because they didn't feel safe in the Olympic Village, so they got their own yacht.
I don't blame them. Yeah.
Right.
Well, they're paying for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that kind of, you lose the spirit of the Olympics at
that point. Of amateurism, right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the only reason that I give basketball a pass is because of the Dream Team. And that's not really, it's a bias for sure. But I stand by that this is meant for amateurism. And
I gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
And they do just have the one medal for all of these different sort of more popular sports. And for swimming, there are tons of medals, which is why the most decorated athlete in Olympic history has to be a swimmer. There's no other.
Right.
Right.
Nobody else is going to get 30 medals in anything in their career.
Okay.
If basketball was like gymnastics, they would have like a gold medal for free throw shooting.
Sure. Yeah,
so no, that's not going to happen. So they just have the one medal, and people seem to like it, and it's got attendance, it's got ratings, so they just kind of go with that, the flow of money, really.
And going kind of on this theme, historically the Olympics were individual sports played by individuals working as a collective for their nation, country, etc.
They were naked while they did it, if we're talking about traditionally.
Traditionally, yes.
Some of them are still, they're close to naked.
But
nowadays,
that'd be good for ratings.
That was good for the opening ceremony.
Lex, go ahead. Tongan. Jesus, that was weird.
He was shiny.
It makes me uncomfortable to watch women fawn over.
They were getting a little pervy about it. It was a little male. It was a little male in the 50s.
It is a little bit of looking in the mirror.
How can you say that? How can you?
I can say that very easily.
It's
get a mulligan.
I agree with Lexington.
But there's a time limit on it. You get mulligans for a little while.
Judgmental.
Yes,
that is
agreed.
Such a double standard. It is. It's okay for men to be pervy.
No, it's not.
You implied that.
No, I didn't mean to. Okay. It's not okay for dudes, but since we've been getting away with it for so long, we'll let the Tonga thing go.
That's not what you said.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
You said it was, you implied that it was inappropriate.
It is inappropriate.
For women to...
Inappropriate for anybody to do that to anybody else to the extent that it was done.
Okay.
Way to backtrack.
you've got yourself out of that one, but you missed some key points.
Right. Oh, no. I definitely missed some points.
We killed this first segment. Absolutely blew it out of the water. We're going to continue this discussion.
I'm going to have to deal with this discussion off mic for quite some time.
Celeste Lewis of the Downtown Arts Center will be on with us in just a moment to talk about their third summer at the Moondance Amphitheater. Stay with us. This is Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community. Welcome back to Bluegrass Bios on Lexington Community Radio. Our next guest is Celeste Lewis. She manages the Downtown Arts Center and the Moondance Amphitheater at Midnight Pass. Is that the full name of it?
You know, we haven't been really using that because it's kind of a mouthful.
It
so
does
when,
get a little lengthy.
Parks and Recs took over management of that, we just call it Moondance Amphitheater.
So there are a couple of events going on between now and Saturday. But first, I was hoping you could explain to our audience what the Moondance Amphitheater is and how you got involved.
Okay. Moondance Amphitheater is a gorgeous facility out in the Beaumont Center, which is out Harrodsburg Road. And it's just outside New Circle Road, right past the the exit off of Harrodsburg Road. If you wanted to get on New Circle Road, just past that is Beaumont Center. And if you go past Beaumont Center shopping, there is this beautiful amphitheater. Suddenly you look up and there it is. It's beautiful.
And how long have you been working there?
This is my third year managing it, and it is open during the summer only. It's an outdoor venue. The stage is covered, but it's beautiful. There's the dressing rooms are very nice for the performers. Excuse me. There's restrooms. There's a concession booth. We have food trucks. We have a dessert truck, a food truck, and a beer truck at all events, and it's a great atmosphere. It's very supported by that neighborhood. People come with their lawn chairs and blankets, and then it's also, we have people from Nicholasville and Versailles and downtown and all over Lexington.
What kind of events have you all hosted in the past?
Well, what we do is a series called Summer Nights in Suburbia, and that is Friday nights. We begin in the first week of June, and we end the last week of August, and so we have concerts every Friday night. And those are rock concerts. And Southland Jamboree is a group that also brings bluegrass music on Monday nights. And the first part of the summer, we have Big Band and Jazz plays out there on Tuesday nights. So it's hopping. It really is. It's busy out there.
What's the association then between the county Parks and Rec Department and the Summerfest over there?
Well, Summerfest used to use that venue for their performances, and they had been at the Arboretum for years and had to build a stage and create the environment in which they could perform. So they came to Moondance because Moondance already has a permanent stage, and they did 2 years of performances out there and really, really enjoyed it. It was a great venue for them. But there was an opportunity to be sort of a homecoming at Woodland Park. Mm-hmm. And that's where it had all started many, many years ago. So they have now moved Summerfest to Woodland Park, and it went super great this summer. So I think they're very welcomed back there, and that's going to be fun. So what that enabled us to do was not to have a void, but what we did was just fill that month of July in with music. So we have music straight across the summer.
Okay, what is the, is it start in as soon as school lets out and kind of ends when it, like, what's the, how many shows do you guys
do? Well, this year we got our timing right. We started at the first week of June and we end the last week of August. The first year we did it, we started in May, mid-May, and it was still kind of chilly. You know, there were some nights that are a little chilly. So we feel like we've hit the perfect formula now. We start in June, we end at the end of August, and we generally have pretty good weather, but it's an outdoor venue and sometimes weather gets in the way.
You told me that this is your third summer, and it's been gaining in popularity every year. How have you guys managed to be so successful?
Well, it's a good question, and I wish I could take every ounce of credit for it, but I cannot.
Well, we're going to give it to you.
It has just been kind of a lovely combination of people in the neighborhood finding it, the city council being very, very supportive of it, and the 10th district council person, Amanda Bledsoe, is very, very supportive. And so I think she talks it up in the neighborhood and in her newsletter. And then we've just had great turnout. And of course, you know, there's a loud noise out there on Friday. If you're in the area, you're going to come by and think, what the heck is this? And the food truck culture has been really great. People have enjoyed the evening. So it's just grown. But I've got to say, even this is why I think I can't take credit for it. Even the very first year, we had huge crowds. So I think Moondance was just ready. It was ready to be a thing.
Are you all focused on being very family-oriented, being able to have the whole family out there?
I wouldn't say that we're super focused on it. We've never really advertised it or targeted that, but it is super family-friendly. And there's families that I have now watched, you know, for 3 years, kids, you know, learning to walk and other kids running around. And almost for every single concert, there'll be a whole bunch of kids, moms, dads, grandparents, everybody dancing down on, there's a concrete apron in the front, and it's really popular for dancing. And so it's very family friendly, and you can bring well-behaved dogs on a leash is what I say. So a lot of people even have their dogs and stuff there too. So it's wide open for anybody that wants to come.
Why is it so important for the community that we have events like this?
Well, I think it's been kind of interesting to see the very first year, I think it was a lot of suburban people. And our tagline was even step outside the circle, because I live downtown, and there are a lot of people who live downtown who think, I don't understand what goes on past New Circle Road. And then there are New Circle Road people who don't know anything about downtown. So I think one of the things I loved about Moondance is it began to blend the two. Downtown people come out there, and then of course that suburban neighborhood is very supportive of it. So, and like I was saying, outlying communities like Versailles and Nicholasville, people come. So it's a huge mix of people and all ages. It's been kind of an interesting sociological experiment to watch it grow. And it's beautiful. And the Haymaker family that developed that shopping center, they started the Moondance Foundation, and that's what funded it. And they to sort of give back to the community, they built it. And it has just been kind of an extraordinary gift to Lexington. It's pretty neat. I've really enjoyed working out there. It's great.
Celeste Lewis, she's the venue manager for the Moondance Amphitheater in Beaumont Center. It's at 1152 Monarch Street. She's also she also manages at the Downtown Arts Center. So, as somebody who organizes events, you mentioned the food truck culture here. I think you'd be able to kind of speak to how that's grown as well. Do you figure these out? Do you handpick the food trucks that are going to be there, or do they all?
We do. Handpick is maybe, we don't have that luxury, actually, because a lot of times it's availability. The food truck thing has taken off so heavily in Lexington that it's almost like it's too popular, and they're hard to get now. So maybe what we need is more food trucks. But we work with availability. We work with them ahead of time. We try to get them booked ahead of time. And of course, there's a great variety. I think one of the things that amazes me about the food truck culture in Lexington is already in a pretty short amount of time, there's Cajun, there's Latin, there's, you know, there's just everything you could possibly want. You know, there's ice cream, there's gelato, there's, you know, there's just so much stuff. So we usually have a pretty rich selection. It's been great. But I have noticed this year, Kelsey Shackelford has been helping tremendously, and she works with Parks and Recreation. And she has said to me a couple of times how difficult it has been to get the same availability that we used to enjoy in years past.
Because
they're busy. They're busy.
Wow, they're booked up.
They're busy.
Could you describe the venue? I have not been there yet, but I was thinking about going tonight. Maybe not tomorrow. Opera is not exactly my thing. Is there seating? Is it completely open? Like, what should people expect when they get there?
Well, that's a great question, because I think a lot of people wonder what it looks like and what is it comfortable? But it's mowed grass on tiers, so that it's sort of a tiered, so there's not a bad seat. You know, the people behind you can see over you, so you don't have to crouch down. Everybody's got a good seat. It's pretty expansive. And there's horse fence all the way around it, which is a new addition, and that really opened up some spots. And then there are restrooms, full, complete, you know,
no
porta potties. It's the real deal, and soap and paper towels, the whole nine yards. So we've got bathrooms, and then one of the things I hear from the bands is, first of all, they love the crowds. They love the stage. It's a really nice big stage. You know, it's well lit, and they, you know, sometimes these bands haven't played for that big a rowdy crowd. And the dressing rooms are super comfortable, air conditioned, nice. We put snacks and water in there for the bands. We try to treat everybody really good. So a lot of times, some of the touring bands who are just passing through have said, you know, wow, nice spot. Can I sleep here? You know,
well, it'll entice them to come back at
exactly,
least, right?
Exactly.
What kind of shows, if you could talk about the variety of shows you've had this summer alone? maybe in the last month or so.
Well, coming up tonight is the Other Brothers, mm-hmm. and Lexingtonians will recognize that band because they're real popular here, and they do a lot of Rolling Stones and a lot of really good, you know, they're a terrific band. Looking forward to that one. We tried to really shake it up this year. We've had, like, the Payback. We've had, you know, some really great Lexington bands. The Johnson Brothers are super popular. And then next week, we're doing this kind of shake-up thing where the March Madness Marching Band is doing a whole performance. You know, they do little snippets here and there, but they're doing their whole performance. And so they've got all kinds of theatrics for the crowd. So that'll be kind of different. And then our finale is August 26th. And that's another thing that's really different. That is Lee Carroll is a great musician here in town, and he's in a lot of different bands. He played earlier in the season with his band See the Beat, which is huge, like 10-person band, big horn section. They play world music, funk, rock. It's amazing. And he came up with this new project of the Beatles tribute band, and he's put together kind of an all-star band, and they're going to do a Beatles night for our finale this year that should be enormous. I mean, wow. We're expecting people. I've already gotten phone calls about it starting weeks ago. So, and these, let me just say, these concerts are free. People call me often and ask what the admission is, and they cannot believe it when I tell them that it's free.
Okay, so I want to talk about the special event that you guys have tomorrow, and unfortunately, your co-worker, Amber Llewellyn, wasn't able to come in today. She sort of seems to be the head organizer on this, right? What is the event tomorrow? Tell us about this opera, Under the Stars, if you would.
Well, Amber Llewellyn is the cultural arts director for Lexington Parks and Recreation. And I think a lot of people in Lexington don't realize that she is the driving force behind many, 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 many things. She's the driving force behind the Woodland Arts Fair and Thriller and Ballet Under the Stars and many of the events that happen that the city's involved in. These are Amber's events. So she wanted to... maybe she had a psychotic moment, but she wanted to add to her plate and come up with yet another event because she really thought one of the things lacking in Lexington was opera. And so an opera event, because we have the UK Opera Program and some amazing singers come out of here and perform here. So she came up with Opera Under the Stars, and it's at Moondance. Ballet Under the Stars still happens at Woodland Arts Fair. I mean, I'm sorry, I keep saying Woodland Arts Fair because it's coming up, but Woodland Park. And then Opera Under the Stars happens at Moondance. And last year was the first one. It was enormously successful. And so she wanted to do it again. So.
And this is these are Lexington-based singers and performers?
They are, I think. They may have some people who are now touring musicians, but I believe most of the people that ever are going to be performing with Opera Under the Stars at least have a connection with the UK Opera Program or Opera Studies in Lexington. I might be wrong, and like you said, Amber wasn't able to join us because she's actually shoulder deep in the program right now, setting up for tomorrow night.
That would explain why when I emailed the Australian group named Opera Under the Stars, they declined to get back to me.
Interesting. Okay.
That's the plot thickens. Celeste Lewis of the Moondance Amphitheater at inside Beaumont Center Circle. It's at 1152 Monarch Street. They have a show tonight, the Other Brothers, at 7 p.m. And tomorrow, Opera Under the Stars. That's Saturday, 8 p.m. Where are tickets available if people are interested, Celeste?
At the venue. You can get tickets there at Opera Under the Stars. And I have a note here. I think possibly the music starts at 9, so I think you get there at 8, and the program starts at 9. And just to give a quick rundown, Mark Cano is the director, and performing will be Andre Campello and Vanessa Campello and Angelique Clay Everett and Keith Dean, Mary Catherine Wright, and the pianist is Cliff Jackson.
Those are all my favorite opera singers. maybe I'll reconsider. And now we can't legally say how much tickets are on the air, but they are
very affordable.
Let's put up your hand, essentially, and kids come in for free.
Absolutely.
So, bring your blankets. Bring your dog on a leash. And
now opera.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I better
dog.
Be careful.
You know. Well, how about this? Is there? You guys have a BYOB? There, like
I I don't have that information.
Okay.
No, it's not like it's classified, but I'm not 100% sure. And you know how those drinkers are. If I get them the wrong information, I'll be in big trouble.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm not saying sneak in a bottle of Cabernet in your pants. I'm not saying that. Lex is giving me such a terrible look right now.
And there may be a truck there. I'm not sure. That and now the switchboard at Parks and Recs is going to be lighting up. So sorry about that, guys.
Have you been to this show before though?
Last year, I was there.
Can you describe it?
I have to say, I'm not an opera aficionado, and I was really moved. It was beautiful. There was one of the operas performed. One of the vignettes that was performed was really funny and whimsical, and one of them was just really moving. I had no idea what she was singing. And I've got to tell you this really quick anecdote. There was some construction going on there last year as they were practicing the day of. They did a rehearsal, and there were all these construction guys out on these balconies and out on the roofs, and I turned around and they were all just transfixed. They were all like climbing down and coming over to the driveway to stand there and listen to her, and she was trilling and just doing these beautiful, beautiful runs with her voice to warm up, and they were just, you know, absolutely stunned. And there was about 20 guys standing there just looking at her, and I thought, and I kind of waved at them, you know, I was like, come tonight, you know, and so, but it was interesting to see them just like, what is that gorgeous sound?
Like sailors into the rocks.
Exactly, exactly. It was great.
Is there like elaborate costuming?
There is some costuming. I'm trying to think. Yeah, there is some. Elaborate is what threw me. It's really, I will say this, it's very accessible. There's nothing about Opera Under the Stars that is going to be over your head or stuffy. It's really very accessible and beautiful. And I think even if you have never heard opera before, or if you've heard opera and thought, not my thing, I urge you to try it because it's really beautiful. And it's not terribly long or involved. It's pieces of operas. So it's really varied menu, so to speak, of opera. And I think that's a good way to start and enjoy opera, is to just get some tastes of it. And it's a great night. And there's this beautiful backdrop that is little, what I like, fairy lights and stuff. And I remember last year thinking, that's the most beautiful little atmospheric touch. It's gorgeous. It made Moondance look very much like a moonscape. It was beautiful.
Have you ever had to turn people away?
Oh. No. Last year, we did have a pretty good crowd. I think there was probably 1,000 people there last year.
Wow.
And Moondance can hold, standing up, you know, sort of elbow to elbow, 2,000 people, but or more. We've never really counted it off. But so last year was pretty crowded. So this year, who knows? Maybe we'll have to turn people away.
Celeste Lewis of the Downtown Arts Center and Moondance Amphitheater. Celeste, you're from Lexington,
uh-huh,
correct?
Uh-huh.
But moved away for quite a while and then came back.
Exactly.
What was that like, leaving home for so long and then returning?
Well, I moved to some really beautiful places, so it was really fun. My husband's an architect, and his job took us to, you know, he would be working on projects and things, and so we would live in some beautiful areas because he specialized in mountain architecture. So we lived in ski resort towns, which is not a bad way to go, not a bad way to raise your family. But we are both Kentuckians. I mean, there is just something about Kentucky. I don't think anyone could argue that point, that there is a real tug. And so I missed Kentucky, but our families were both here, and so we always came back often. But I've got to say, coming back and living here again, one of the things I really cherished was that it was all still here, only more so. It was like the arts were still here, my friends were still here. There was still, this is something I love about Lexington, there is a conversation going on here all the time about really deep, probing things. There's a conversation about arts or politics or the land, or something is going on here all the time. And I never really found that other places. There would be passionate discourse, but not like it happens in Lexington. And so when I got back, it was one of the first things I noticed was that conversation, I stepped right back into it. And it was an interesting experiment for me because my children were not raised here. And my daughter came to visit us for an extended period of time. She stayed with us for 6 months. And she mentioned to me one day, she said, the thing I'm going to miss most, she went back out west, but she said, the thing I'm going to miss most is this kind of interesting, roiling conversation and the humor and the stories. And I realized that she had tapped into that. And so it wasn't just my imagination. It's something unique to Lexington. And I think the source of that is there are more writers, there are more musicians, there are more artists. I mean, this is the most creatively rich town I've ever lived in. And that is not something I think everybody recognizes. If you've lived here and not moved away, you just think this is the way the world is. But it's not. Lexington's pretty unique.
That has to make working for the Arts Center particularly exciting, or you get even more out of it.
Oh, right? I can't even tell you. I have my dream job. I mean, it's totally, totally, totally my dream job. And I tell people all the time when they ask me what I do, I say, I have the coolest job in Lexington. I'm sorry, but I have the coolest job in Lexington.
Bar none.
That's right.
What kind of initiatives are you trying to get off the ground now that maybe people don't know about yet?
Well, we have our biggest battle was, you know, we really needed to take the Downtown Arts Center and get it going, you know, just get it really revved up. And it was this beautiful, beautiful facility, and it had been a bit of a struggle. And the city had an investment there in that piece of real estate.
And there was a little talk of moving maybe for a second, wasn't there?
Moving the Arts Center?
Yeah, but it wasn't taken too seriously.
I'm very unaware of that. And I would, you know, be on the front stoop with a baseball bat. No, I'm joking. I guess I shouldn't really threaten violence because it's not part of my job. But
that's okay. That's what's missing from the arts.
No, we don't want to move because yeah. Right. Violence is missing from the arts.
How about to NWA?
It's a great facility, though. I actually think, I don't know of any talk of moving it anywhere else.
This is a little while.
Yeah. But it's great. We love the facility. And Tom Willis is our technical director there. He does an amazing job. And the thing that happened to us when we moved in there, we expected it to take a while for the arts community to come to come back and to come knocking. And instead it was kind of a whoosh. They was sort of like this, you know, here they come thundering at the door. So we've been so embraced by the art community here. So we have Athens West we're the performance home for Athens West. We're the performance home for Blackbird Dance Theater. We're the performance home for Movement Continuum. You know, we've got all these wonderful companies that come work with us, and that now that we're 2 years in, we're building relationships. It's pretty great. And then we have some one-offs that are awesome. You know, they're just completely breathtaking.
It helps to have the neighborhood surrounding you, right?
Downtown?
Oh, no, I was thinking about the
Moondance?
Yeah.
At Moondance Amphitheater, that has taken off super well. That is being embraced by that neighborhood, and I think always was. It's just that there wasn't a whole lot of programming going on there. Mm-hmm. So what we did with Moondance Amphitheater was just bring a lot of programming, good quality stuff, and people just, you know, are eating it up. So I think Moondance had the location. Moondance had great support. Moondance just needed some, you know, some programming to be consistent. You know, like every Friday night there's going to be this, you know. And once we offered that, people are only too happy to be there. I mean, you know, what's not to love? It's pretty cool. And I got to say, one night I posted on Facebook not too long ago this picture. As I left at 10 o'clock at night, there was this just the last remnants of a just blisteringly red, beautiful sunset. And I took a picture and just said, good night, Moondance. And it got a bazillion comments because I think everybody has had that experience where they've been leaving Moondance after a lovely night and thinking, oh, that was fun.
You know, speaking of things you get in Lexington that you may not necessarily get somewhere else.
Exactly.
It's that sunset. Oh,
yeah.
Late summer. Now, here's my question as a native Lexingtonian. Mm-hmm. Where do you park?
Downtown?
No, for the Moondance.
Oh, for Moondance?
Yeah, yeah.
For Moondance Amphitheater, there's actually fantastic parking on the circle. And then most of our events happen in the evening. So all of those, like the banks and stuff around there, you can park there after hours. And then there is the Alliance Building, which is right behind the venue, is a big parking lot. And we have the use of all of that. And they've cut, like for wheelchairs and things, there's a cut of pavement that comes through there. So you can park there and wheel right into or ride your bike right into our venue.
Are there directions sort of maybe around, like,
yes,
little arrows?
Yes, our website. You mean there physically?
Yeah.
It's hard to miss. I mean, you can see it right there.
Good.
Actually, you're 10 feet from the venue when you're parking in the Alliance building.
Great.
So yeah, it's all super, super close. So don't be intimidated about parking. There's oodles and oodles of parking.
Great.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part, either of, you know, every Friday night at Moondance, mm-hmm. or just what you do every day?
Well, I really love it all. I mean, that would be really hard to say. I love one. And I got to say, it's so diverse and so different that every day is, you know, and one of them's outdoors and one of them's indoors. So it's hard to pick a favorite. But, you know, like I said before, I am very, very grateful and cognizant of the fact that I have this cool job. And I'm still having a great time with it. I really am. But as you said earlier, one of the best parts of it is I get to work with all these really creative people. And Lexington has such a great creative population that we're just getting started. I mean, we're just barely scratching the surface.
Celeste Lewis, she's a manager for the Downtown Arts Center and the Moondance Amphitheater in Beaumont Center. Celeste, let's say outside of the Summerfest or some of these other events that we've been talking about, what if is the venue available to the community?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked because it is. It's for rent, and we actually have a pretty good rental business out there. People have it for parties, people have it for their own concerts, their own events. We've had little festivals, school fundraiser festivals. We've had Crave was out there for the first couple of years that Crave did existed, and that was a really interesting use of that space. And they very quickly outgrew Moondance. McCrave is just a huge, huge, huge thing. So they've moved to Masterson Station, which is one of our parks, and I think they have a lot more elbow room now there. But it sort of proved to us that you could have a multi-tented, lots and lots of people event. So Moondance is open and for rent for your event.
And I read that for nonprofit groups, they get a hefty discount as well.
They do. Right? They get 50% off discount.
All right. Quite a deal.
And if people are interested in some of your upcoming events or in contacting you, they can check out your Facebook page, correct?
Facebook page is a quick way to find information, and we try to post, a couple things a week. And then if you want the website, it is lexingtonky.gov/DAC. And then it has, I'm sorry, Moondance Amphitheater. I'm confused. We're talking about two different places.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sorry. So it's lexingtonky.gov. Moondance Amphitheater or maybe it might be Moondance Lex.
You have a moondancelex.com
yeah.
That I got
yes,
a lot of
and
this.
That'll take you there too. That'll
okay.
take you there too, yeah.
All right, fantastic. It's interesting. We were talking about all this bleed over. Doing this work here, we get a lot of that, right? Like mm-hmm. you were the first time you were here mm-hmm. was for the Patrick McNeese Band. Next week we're having on Tom Martin, who's in the Patrick McNeese Band. The Patrick McNeese Band played at Moondance
right.
The past few weeks.
Like, and I used to write for Tom at BizLex.
It's,
so, yeah.
It's the theme song to our show. Like it's kismet, I think.
But I think Lexington. That's so Lexington.
Right. That goes to show the community in Lexington and how close everyone is.
They are. I mean, and I love that that still existed. That I was a little afraid when we moved back to Lexington that it had grown, bigger and more spread out. And it had physically, but still there is that connection. Everybody jokes about how it's 1 degree of separation in Lexington, and there's something to that. There really is. I mean, I'm actually physically blood kin to a lot of people I know here, and so that's 1 degree of separation. But also just friends. We all worked together at some place. Amber, who is my boss at Parks and Recs, we worked together at Joseph Beth Booksellers a million years ago. And it's so funny because I hadn't totally lost touch with her, but I didn't, we hadn't really stayed all that close in contact. And when I moved back and saw her, then she began telling me, and she liked the work that I had done out west and thought it would be a good fit here. But I always thought it was so funny. I thought, oh my gosh, I remember you from a long time ago and how great to see you again. And now we work together. So it's totally great. And that's a very Lexington scenario,
yes.
I think.
Just tell us really quickly, who'd you work for when you were out west?
I worked at Sundance. I worked for Robert Redford.
Sundance and Moondance. She's got both sides covered. Celeste Lewis of the Parks and Rec Department, Downtown Arts Center, and Moondance Amphitheater. They've got a show tonight, The Other Brothers, at 7 p.m. Admission is free, and tomorrow, Opera Under the Stars at 8 p.m. I think you said music at 9. Or what was
you
the...
know, I'm just, let's just, let's send them to the website.
Go to the website.
My piece of paper here says 9, but when you said 8, I was thinking perhaps that's gates open at 8 and music starts at 9.
All right, well, take some initiative out there, people. You've got the websites. Celeste, it was a pleasure having you in with us.
Thanks very much. It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So we are Bluegrass Bios. We'll be right back in a minute. This is Lexington Community. Cutting across